Welcome, everyone, as we respond to the Lord's great love and kindness to us by opening our hearts to His Word and by anchoring ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ as we prepare to face a new year, knowing that He who saved us will keep us and care for us. Our scripture reading today is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and then we'll also read John 11, 17 through 26. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the greatest blessing is to know that we have eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You for Your great love, Lord Jesus, in coming into this world, in revealing to us the eternal life that is found in God, in Your Heavenly Father, for dying on the cross to secure for us eternal life and rising from the dead triumphantly. Lord, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, You will give us confidence to overcome fear this coming year by showing us in a fresh way that You are our everlasting Father who provides us with eternal life here and now. We ask, Lord, that You would enable us to abound in love, in faith, in giving, in kindness, in truth this coming year. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And John 11, 17 through 26, in these words from our Heavenly Father, tell us, Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him, but Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever You ask from God, God will give You. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Stepping through the door into a new year should be an optimistic and exciting experience. And yet for millions of people, the adventure of stepping into a new year is overshadowed by the dread of fear. The cold breath of fear knows all ages and it haunts all walks of life. It's no respecter of persons. This year has been a challenging year. It's been a difficult year. It has been an uncertain year because of the COVID-19 pandemic and all the other ills and challenges and diseases and difficulties that haunt our lives. Some people are afraid to go to the supermarket or the corner store, even in the broad daylight. Others are afraid that they may not find a job this coming year. And losing their job has been a difficult blow to their lives and their families, and they don't know how they're going to make it. Parents are afraid that the next phone call might be one of their children, sadly telling them that they have COVID symptoms or that they've lost their job. And it's the same as well for children, fearing their parents may call them or a parent telling them that they are sick, that they have COVID symptoms. Sick people are afraid of what the doctor may say to them if they go to see him, he or she. Thousands of people, millions of people in our nation and throughout the world are afraid of the future. Fear, without a doubt, is one of the greatest enemies of victorious living. Yet the future does have great opportunities for us if we will put our confidence in Christ. You know, fear can be destructive like a drop of ink in a glass of water. It can color and it can cloud everything. However, dealing with fear does not depend on our good or bad conditions. It depends on our response to those conditions. And the Bible tells us the key to overcoming fear is faith in Christ. Do you believe what Isaiah promised that Jesus Christ would be? He promised 700 years before Jesus was born that he would be everlasting Father. In other words, Jesus Christ takes care of the dimensions of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." Now, that Jesus Christ should be called the everlasting Father might initially to your mind present a theological contradiction. If Jesus is the Son, he can't be the Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are separate persons, each equal in power and glory. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The answer, of course, is in the unique way that in Jewish culture the word Father was used. It meant to be the author of, it meant to be the originator of. In John 8:44, Jesus says, "Satan is the father of lies." He's the originator and author of lies. In calling Jesus Christ the everlasting Father, the prophet was saying, Jesus is the originator of eternal life. So as our counselor, Jesus handles the decisions of life. He helps us with those. As mighty God, he takes care of the demands of life. As Prince of Peace, he helps us experience peace in the disturbances of life. But as our everlasting Father, Jesus Christ provides eternal life, new dimensions of life. You are part of the eternal if you know Jesus Christ. His eternal life resides in you. How will you lift up your shoulders and your head high this coming year with confidence? It is to trust that Jesus Christ is your everlasting Father, is your everlasting God. How do we do that? First, trust that Jesus Christ, the eternal God, invaded time to give you eternal life. Trust that Jesus Christ, the eternal God, invaded time to give you eternal life. God created us for eternity, and Jesus Christ came to earth to reveal and to share the eternal. We're told in 1 John 1, 2, and 3 that we have, John wrote, that we have seen, we have experienced, we have lived with the eternal God who came from the Father and made himself known to us. That is Jesus Christ, perfect God and perfect man. And in John chapter 1, the gospel, verses 1 through 3, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Isn't that fabulous? That Jesus Christ is the eternal God who invaded time in order to make God known to us. Certainly, God was revealed in creation and in the giving of the Ten Commandments. But each of these revelations had limitations because of our sinfulness. Creation reveals the existence of God and that he's almighty in power and wisdom. But creation says little or nothing about the love of God for sinners. The law of God reveals to us the perfect holiness of God, and that God commands us to be holy by keeping his law. But the law cannot clean our hearts internally of sin. The law of God cannot regenerate in us the love of Christ, transforming our attitudes and our actions, our behaviors, and our thoughts. God has revealed himself in the events of history, that he's a God who's in control and cares. And yet, even this revelation cannot redeem us from sin because we are sinners and something has to be done about sin. But you see, in invading time, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. The eternal Word, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh. And that union of perfect God and perfect man will last forever. As fully God and fully man, Jesus showed us what it was like to live for the eternal. He lived like no other person lived. And even publicans and sinners who he pursued in love and who he freed from the power of their sins recognized that Jesus Christ was the eternal God come to earth and the only one that could set them free from their sin. As you read the gospel records, you see Jesus Christ moving about to reach out to sinners and showing us that living for eternal life, that eternal life is full and it is satisfying. As you read the gospel records, you see Jesus is the living Word who reveals who God the Father is. When you read the gospels and see the holiness of Jesus Christ, you are seeing the holiness of God. When you read the gospels and you see the sovereign power of Christ to raise the dead, to heal the blind, to make the deaf hear, to carry his disciples through the storms on the Sea of Galilee, when you see his compassion with the woman at the well and his reclaiming this woman caught in sin to eternal life and abundance of life, you see the almighty sovereign compassion and love of God for sinners like you and like me. What Jesus did was open a window in time so that we can see and experience the unchanging, unfailing love of God. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life." You see, God made you for eternity. And there's more to life than scratching the surface. There's more to life than meets the eye. God made us to live eternally. And we will, either without Christ, in an eternity separated from him in hell, or in eternity with Jesus Christ forever in heaven. The deepest craving of our hearts is a personal relationship with God through Christ that gives you eternal life now, because the life of Jesus abounds in you through the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus Christ, we see eternity revealed because he is your eternal life. But how do you experience that eternal life? After all, we're sinners, and sinners receive eternal death, not eternal life. The wages of sin is death. Everything that partakes of sin leads to death. So something has to be done about my sin and your sin in order to enter into that magnificent gift of eternal life. Jesus came to reveal the eternal God. And you know what's marvelous today? Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that you can share eternal life, so you can possess it. God solved the problem of our sin when the eternal Son of God in flesh died on the cross. Do you know, at Calvary, time met eternity. At Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, the eternity met time in the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But at Calvary, eternity met time when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for you to open up a way into eternal life with God. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, foreordained before the foundation of the world. We are also told that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, 8. God's great plan of salvation was no afterthought. He chose his sons and daughters in eternity past out of love for us, and we have an eternal purpose in Christ. We have such a Savior who is the author of eternal life because he came to earth and he purchased that eternal life for you and me on the cross. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, we are told he is the author of eternal life to those who obey him. We are told by the shedding of blood, He obtained eternal life for you, Hebrews 9, 12. When we trust Jesus Christ, you have the gift of eternal life now. In order to become the Father of eternity to us, the originator and author of eternity, Jesus had to die for us. Jesus Christ, at great cost to himself, purchased the gift of eternal life for you and me. And he will keep you eternally. Nothing can take eternal life from you. So that's the first point. In Jesus Christ, the eternal God invaded time to give you eternal life. Point number two, trust that Jesus Christ lives to give you eternal purpose and quality for your life. But Jesus is also the eternal Lord in another way, and that is he lives now to give you eternal quality of life, because he lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit and eternal purpose now, so that everything you do right now in this life has eternal significance. Your life is not a waste. God has invested the blood of his own Son in you. God has invested the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and your life is of significance right now. You know, most of the people in the world today, and all of those who don't know Christ, are just existing. They're not living. They don't have the abundant life in Christ. What they live on doesn't satisfy. and it's not going to last eternally. The vast majority of people live on substitutes, and the substitutes are robbing them of the experience of eternal life and eternal joy and eternal substance and eternal peace with God. Instead of investing time in eternity, they are wasting their life in this world that's going to perish. We are told in 1 John 2:17, he who does the will of God abides forever. What a great price to pay to waste your life on self, to waste your life on the substitutes of this world that you've put in the place of God. It's a great price to pay with so little return. But what a great return there is when you invest your life in living for Jesus Christ and serving him, because he will overcome your fears. He will give you hope as you go into the new year. For the Christian, Christ is the one who controls time. We read in Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. You know, Jesus lived that way when he ministered on earth. Jesus lived according to a divine timetable. If you can't read the Gospel of John without reading the words, my hour has not yet come, Jesus said often from his lips, or my time has not yet come. He was speaking of the greatest moment of history when he would die on the cross for the sins of his people. We read in John chapter 2, verse 4, that Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry to his mother Mary, when he was changing water into wine, my time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. We also read in speaking to his brothers, Jesus said in John 7:6, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus and put him to death, but they found that impossible until the hour of Jesus' death came. We also read that when Jesus was announcing his return to Judea to help Mary and Martha, as Lazarus died, that his disciples said, Rabbi, they were just seeking to stone you, and are you going back? And Jesus, with a calm confidence in God's perfect plan, said, my hour has not yet come, and he who walks in the day does not stumble. See, Jesus had a quiet confidence in the plan and purpose of the Father. In other words, he said, I'm walking not by sight, I'm walking by faith. I know my Father has a plan, and I will follow it. I will trust him. My times are in his hand. If we're going to face this new year with confidence and courage in Christ, we must say boldly in the circumstances of our life, my times are in God's hand. Does God still have a plan to guide us? Does God have a plan to care for us? It's impossible that God, who has given us eternal life and who gave his Son for our salvation, should ever abandon those he loves. That's the gospel. The gospel is the good news. When God sets his love on you and redeems you by the grace of Christ, he's going to keep you through all the circumstances of your life. You have an anchor in Jesus Christ. According to Hebrews 1:2, we're told that Jesus Christ formed the ages. Do you know what that means? That even the ages of history, of your history, of your family's history, not only past but future, the history of our times, the history of what we've gone through this year and what we will go through this year is in the hands of the Savior who died to redeem you. That'll give you confidence in this new year. Psalm 37:25 is David looking back on his life and saying, "Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have not seen, never seen the Lord forsake me or God's children begging bread." Do you know what that means? At the end of your pilgrimage on this earth, you will see the hand of God has been working all the days of your life. That doesn't mean we did everything according to God's will. And that doesn't mean that there weren't detours in our life. Oh, but what it means is that God rules and overrules the circumstances of your life. Your times are in God's hands. And do you know what that means? That means the scars in your life are in the hands of Jesus. I want you to think about that. Jesus had scars because he died to take away our sins. And if you follow Jesus, you're going to have scars too. If you think you're going to get through this life unscarred, you're not. I read a quote that's very true. God had only one son without sin, but he doesn't have any sons and daughters without suffering. Without suffering. There's suffering that comes with serving Jesus Christ. But you know what's glorious and you know what's wonderful, brothers and sisters? I can tell you on the basis of God's authoritative word, your greatest ministry will be the testimony of the wounds in your life, physical, emotional, spiritual, that you have given to Jesus, and now they're scars. Do you know what a scar is? It's a wound that has been healed by Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others who are in trouble with the same comfort we've received from God. There are people who are going to trust Jesus Christ in God's sovereign love. There are people who are going to be comforted because you've shared how Jesus helped you through scars in your life. The loss of a child, the loss of work, the loss of health, abandoned by family, rejected. And I brought, and you've experienced God's healing because you brought your wounds to Jesus and he healed you and he strengthened you. Not that you sail through life without pain, but that you trusted Jesus Christ with your wounds, and he healed them so that you're able then to comfort others. Your greatest ministry, your greatest service to Christ, because your life is in his hands, are the wounds you offer to him. And then third, trust that Jesus Christ has overcome the enemies of our life. Jesus Christ overcomes the enemies of your life. Jesus Christ conquers time. For those who trust Jesus Christ, time is a friend. But for those who don't follow him, time is their enemy. Jesus Christ entered into time, and in time he saved us from our sin and is accomplishing God's eternal purpose in our lives. One way that time is an enemy to people is delay. We can't control time. Time is out of bounds to us. The seconds, minutes, and hours move along at God's pace, not ours, and there's nothing we can do much of the time to hinder or change delay. The child wants to move time along at times. The elderly would like to slow it down, and the suffering say, "How long, O God?" And yet, the Christian need not worry about delay, because your time is in Jesus' hands. He knows the right time for everything, and he will not fail you. You know, you can use delays, and I pray you will, in a fruitful way to meet with God, as you fellowship with God in prayer. As you pray, God will enable you to fruitfully and follow Christ in the new year. Use delays to meet with God. You know, when your heart and mind is yielded to God and you fellowship with God, the eternal God meets with you in time and fosters in you confidence and peace and courage to overcome fear. And if you don't know what God wants you to do, wait on him, pray to him, but patiently keep on doing what he's already shown you to do. We need not fear delay, and we need not fear decay. You know, Paul knew about this when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, 18 through 20, "For our momentary light afflictions are working for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them. We look not at the things that are seen because they perish, but at the things that are unseen because they are eternal." The Apostle Paul said, "I struggle with burdens. I struggle with problems. I struggle with the lashes I've received. I struggle with afflictions physically and spiritually, and they seem to weigh heavy. But when I look at the eternal glory of Christ and focus on the eternal glory I will have with Christ, those burdens, those problems are lightweight compared to the heavy weight of all that God has for me in Christ." And as you look at Christ and the glory he has for you, that will give you such strength, such courage to steadfastly serve him through thick and thin. The greatest enemy of time is death. That's the ultimate weapon. And yet we can shout with the Apostle Paul, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he has raised Christ and gives me victory over death through him." Do you know, in the dramatic scene at Bethany that we read in John 11, 17 through 26, Jesus overcame all of these enemies. He delayed 2 days before he set out to visit Mary and Martha while Lazarus was sick and Lazarus died. And Jesus did that intentionally because it was a far greater miracle to his glory in delaying and permitting Lazarus to die and then raising him from the dead than if Jesus had just healed him when he was sick. Then Jesus goes to Lazarus, and when he tells Mary and Martha he's going to raise their brother from the dead, the sisters say, "The stench will be too great, Lord. He's decaying. He's dying. He's dead." And Jesus raises him from the dead and restores him to his loved ones. One day Jesus will restore us to our loved ones who have died in Christ. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. that time will be the last of time, for then we will be in the eternal present forever with glorified bodies to serve Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus is the eternal God who came to earth to reveal God and to purchase your eternal life. Jesus is the eternal God who holds your times in his hands, and Jesus overcomes death, and he overcomes delay. Live for Christ now. Live for Christ now. Everything you do in life is significant to God. Do you know one of the great testimonies of a believer's life is that you have the opportunity to bring life and hope where there is decay and death? That is what believers are called to do. That is what believers do. When I visited people who have been near death, and they're on their bed, they're dying, and yet because their hope is in Jesus Christ, there is a sense of life and courage and joy in their living, in the eternal life that Christ has given them, and they're looking forward to that eternal life that seems to cast away the gloom of decay. Live for Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you can know him by simply trusting him, turning away from your sin, and saying, Lord Jesus, I need the eternal life you came to give. I repent of my sin and surrender my life to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to give us eternal life and that you are the author of eternal life. Lord Jesus, fill us with new hope, new joy and courage as we face this coming year. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.